Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Thurman Scribner again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you and thank you and worship you for the mighty things that you do. I thank you for the faith that you give us. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you that you're the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for forgiving all of our sins, healing all of our diseases, and making us whole and giving us all these great and mighty promises in your word. Now, as we talk about these promises today, I ask you to reveal to us the truth of the mighty word of the living God in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 17, and I'm going to show you what happens when a man has a son that has a devil in him, and what happens whenever he brings him to people that don't have enough faith. And that's what usually happens when they bring them to most Christians and most pastors. I mean, there's even things that, in fact, there's things I don't even have faith for yet, but I'm working on it. Now, I want you to see what happens here in Matthew 17:15. He says, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and he's sore vexed, for oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. This is kind of a seizure of some kind. And he says, and I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Now then, Jesus was not too nice to these boys. Jesus answered them and said, oh, you faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And look what Jesus did. Jesus rebuked the devil, and the devil departed out of him, and the child was cured from the very hour. What was wrong with the boy? A devil. That's what's wrong with us. Whenever things come upon us and begin to torment us or cause us to do these things, like this little guy, he was really vexed with a devil. And it threw him into the fire and into the water and all kinds of things to kill him. Well, it wasn't the boy. It was a devil. Because Jesus, in Matthew 17:18, he rebuked the devil or the demon, and the devil or the demon departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then, let's see what the disciples did. After they saw Jesus do this, then came the disciples of Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Now, that's our problem, unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing. Now, wait a minute. What is this? When people say, you don't have any faith. You make me feel bad when you tell me I don't have any faith. Okay? Let's let Jesus tell you that then. That's what he's told me many a time. In Matthew 17:20, he says, if you have faith, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, as children of the King, sons and daughters of God, how much power has he given us? All. What can we do? Nothing shall be impossible with us. He didn't cut us short. He left us with everything. But who are we fighting against? We're fighting against a devil. We're not fighting against God. We're fighting against the devil. Because right here, the disciples had asked him this question, and he says, now, this kind of unbelief, or this kind of demon, whichever one he's talking about here, goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now then, if you're having trouble getting things done, when is the last time you prayed diligently and fasted and sought God in his word? If you say, well, I've never done that, well, then that's your problem. I had met that criteria once myself, where I didn't pray, and I didn't fast, and I didn't study, and I didn't believe, so I didn't see God do anything either. But when I begin to spend hundreds of hours studying this book, I mean 5, 10, 15 hours every week, in other words, my wife says we're in a 24/7 Bible study. Well, not quite, but we're almost. We're talking about the Word of God, praying the Word of God, talking about it virtually night and day. Because Jesus said, by prayer and fasting. And so, if we were to pray and fast more, we would absolutely be able to see the King do great and mighty things. So if you haven't prayed and fasted in a while, you need to start praying and you need to start fasting. If you've never done this, well, then start off number one with, say, a three-day fast. If you've never done a fast, begin to speak to your body and tell your body, body, I'm going to stop eating food next Wednesday. And I'm not going to eat anything all day, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm going to take a three-day fast, and I'm going to have 3 days, and I'm going to spend time with God. Now then, if you're a man or woman that works during the week, then it might be better if you did this over a weekend, because you need to not only fast or go without food, at the same time you need to be praying and seeking God, reading His Word. So the best thing might be to do would Friday afternoon, when you get off work, say eat at noon on Friday, and then come home Friday afternoon at 4 or 5 o'clock, whatever time you get off, and then start reading the Word. Kind of lock yourself up with the Word of God. Don't go out and eat on Friday afternoon. Take a time, and if you and your wife, if you're a married man and woman, if you can do this together, it will bring great results. Spend time just quiet before God, reading the Word, studying and praying, talking to the Lord. Friday night, you know, study and read up till midnight or something, and then go to bed. Rest, get up in the morning, 8 or 9 o'clock, if you've had a good night's sleep. And all day, read the Word. Get up. Nothing to eat. Only water to drink. Don't get up thinking about you need something to eat. Just all day Saturday. Spend time in the Word. Praying. Fasting. Talking to God. Reading His Word. And then do it all day Sunday. And by Sunday afternoon, at noon, you've got 2 days under your belt. And then go all the way till at least Monday morning. Go and read the Word Sunday evening, and then when you go to bed, wake up Monday morning, and maybe before you go to work, have something to eat, or wait until noon, and eat at noon on Monday, and that will give you a three-day fast. And you will begin to get an idea of what it is to go 3 days without food, only with water. And you can do it. Be sure and ask the Lord to direct you in this as you do this, so you will be able to do this free of any hunger pains. And if you'll ask the Lord, I've done this many times. I always ask the Lord to keep me from being hungry, because I'm going to fast and pray to study the Word of God. And He will do it. He will keep you from having those hunger pains. And you can just go without food or water. It's amazing how long you can go without food or water and still work. Now, the longest I've ever went without food or water and carried a normal job and worked every day, 8, 10, 12 hours a day, right on through, preached on Sunday and taught Bible studies on nights, two nights a week and all kinds of things, and then go do things and go visit people, go to hospitals and everything else during the day and do all the things. The longest I've ever went is 18 and a half days. But at the end of 18 and a half days, you know, you're beginning to get kind of weak as a rule. And some people get a lot weaker than others. Some people are still fairly strong, but you can go, you know, you can go 40 days and not have to eat, but you do have to drink water. But I don't think that anybody can carry a normal full-time schedule and go to work and everything and still do that for 40 days. If you can, you're a whole lot better man than I am. But I don't think God requires you to do that. I think if you were going to go on a 40-day fast, I think that He would want you just to be at home praying and praising Him and reading and studying His Word. Now, I do know that you can go 2 full weeks, no problem. I have went that easy a few times, 2 weeks, 14 days, 12, 14 days, and carry a normal schedule and, you know, go ahead and work normal and everything and have absolutely no problems doing that. The best thing to do is, if you're going to pray and fast, try to find a time when you're not working. That's when you can have the most results. That's when you can seek God and see Him do great and mighty things. So do what the Lord says. Remember, He says, if you have faith and doubt not, you can do all these wonderful things. Now I want to take you over to 1 John 4, and I want to read something to you out of 1 John 4. Starting verse 15, it says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." So if we confess Jesus is our Lord, then he's in us, and God dwelleth in us, and we're in God. And verse 16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." And verse 17, listen to this. "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." Now, think about that, what that's saying right there. It's really quite awesome to think that in verse 17, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, if we are like him in this world, then we ought to be doing the same things Jesus was doing, because it's not you doing it, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's doing these things. So when you and I get a hold of the fact that Christ is in us, that we are technically little Jesuses. Now, I know some people don't like that term, but according to the Word of God, that's true. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you are a form of Jesus, because Jesus is in you. So when you go and you speak his promises in his name and you do them in faith, you will see the Lord do great and mighty things in your life and in the lives of other people. Now then, you will be able to do the same things that Jesus did. You will be able to go, and since he's in you, you'll be able to speak his name. You'll be able to lay hands on people. You'll be able to rebuke devils over people. You'll be able to break the power of the devil in a person's life. You'll be able to take people that their eyes are blinded by the god of this world, that cannot get saved, that will not want nothing to do with Jesus. You will be able to take the Word of God, and you'll be able to break the power of the devil in those people's lives. You'll be able to ask the Father in Jesus' name to send the Holy Spirit to convict those people of sin and draw them into the kingdom. And you will see those people come into the kingdom of God, get saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, delivered. You will see God do great and mighty things. And life becomes so much fun when you learn you have been given all power by the King. Now then, we come to the end of another day. I ask you to give us a call for free audio and video and CDs. We'll be happy to send them to you. Free and postpaid. We'll send you a packet of our teaching, and trust that the Lord will bless you with it. And the phone number is 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org, and there you can get to us. Remember, Jesus is Lord.